Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of Plank of the Week. And I'm joined this week, once again, by Alex Phillips, who is isolating herself down in the West Country in Gloucester, who is, of course, famous as one of the many people who have appeared more than once on Plank of the Week. Alex, a very good afternoon to you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Happy to be on.
Yeah, good. And you're joined by another man from sort of the west of London, I would say, down in Cornwall, Mr. Neil Wallace, who is a tabloid veteran, a man that I've probably known for more years than I care to remember. Good afternoon, Neil.
Good afternoon. I certainly have known you more years than I care to remember.
It's very true. Well, let's get straight to it, because as ever, there's been a hell of a lot of plankery going on over the course of the last week. So, Alex, let me ask you who your first nominee is.
Well, rather than individual, I'm just going to go for quangos in general.
Right.
And basically, well, look, you know, I'm beginning to come around to Dominic Cummings' way of thinking when he basically said Whitehall needs to be set on fire and we need to get some sort of innovators and lunatics in position.
Yes.
Because the response to the coronavirus crisis has been little short of inept, and I can only suggest that basically every single quango that's been involved in this has to take some of the blame. I mean, for instance, I was just reading the response of Public Health England to a piece by Trevor Kavanagh in The Sun when he was saying there's been so much ineptitude, first in the private sector jumping up and saying we can make coronavirus tests. One company in Southampton has actually started exporting them to 81 different countries around the world because they haven't got a green light from the NHS. Then there's the fact that we exported a load of PPE to China at the start of the crisis when it was obvious it was going to come round to us. You've got the private sector Formula One teams making ventilators and then, you know, they haven't been approved and that's been a waste of time. And you look at Germany, for instance, who've got a far more devolved, decentralized system, and they've allowed regionally private laboratories to come up with COVID tests and use them and, you know, implement a strategy at a more localized level without everything having to be controlled from the center. And as a result, being a bit more fleet of foot, taking the odd risk, but it's not a big dangerous risk, but, you know, having a little bit of a go at doing your best in a crisis rather than being a bureaucratic pen pusher is working out for them. So on that basis, I want to put quangos in the bin. They're my plank of the week.
What do you reckon, Neil?
Well, it's a pretty wide field you're putting in that bin, isn't it? I mean, I must confess that the whole saga over PPE has sort of sent me all a bit potty, really, because I think it's an immensely difficult field. Because if you get this wrong, and I read somewhere that they've had all these people and odd folks ringing up and saying, we'll make you some PPE, but the problem being that you've got to get the PPE right for it to be safe. And the safety standards are very difficult. But if you take the simple generic point, should we bin quangos, I'm right with you, Alex.
Yes.
Totally with you. And I think that there's no question that Whitehall, et cetera, has needed a rocket up it for a long time. And I, too, am a Dominic Cummings fan. And so you get my vote, basically.
OK. Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because they almost kind of self-generate, don't they, these quangos? Because everybody who comes in to say we're going to have a bonfire of the quangos, it always turns out that after the bonfire of the quangos, there's more quangos than there were before the bonfire of the quangos. So I don't quite know how that works. Neil, what's your first nomination today?
Well, my first nomination, I have to say, is a man who is a burning example of how not to be in public life. He's a guy called Richard Bergen.
Oh, yes.
Bergen. I'm not totally sure how you pronounce his damn name, to be honest. But He is quite literally a grinning poltroon. The man is an idiot of the highest quality. And so not surprisingly, he was a big supporter of Jeremy Corbyn.
Of course, yeah.
And Jeremy Corbyn thought he walked on water. And in Jeremy Corbyn's administration, he was the Shadow Justice Secretary, where he basically just tried to rival Corbyn with coming out with an ever more ridiculous series of announcements and beliefs and nonsense, etc. But this week, in the midst of the coronavirus, he surpassed even his own level of stupidity. He put out a list on Twitter saying, "What a disgrace! Look how low Britain is." Or rather, look how badly Britain is doing. We are just about the worst in the world on coronavirus, and produced a list of countries. And there we were, Britain, I think, was second from top in his list. all doom and gloom. The only thing was, he had sort of included Afghanistan and Lithuania and Latvia and somewhere over there. And he totally left out of his list, to try to make Britain appear to be the West, Italy, Spain, France, America, China.
Right.
And it was truly staggering. So on that basis, I'm sorry, I think he must be just about a shoo-in to be the plank of the week.
Yes.
That's my view.
Okay, Alex?
Well, yeah, Richard Bergen is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he? I mean, I've never met a more sort of inept and bungling politician in my life. There was that response to anti-Zionism when he said, "I never said Zionism was the enemy of the peace," when footage had come out saying, with him saying those exact words. And you just think, oh my gosh, does nobody brief this man?
Right.
But at the same time, yeah, he's a major plank. But being a bit of a righty, for me, he's a useful plank, because he kind of represents that entire party, not the entire party, that's a bit cruel, but a huge chunk of the party that have risen to fairly high office, who are from a mediocrity, basically, and keep the public aware that actually, you know, backing Labour is probably not a good decision for the rest of the country.
No, absolutely right. Also, Andrew Neil pointed out that one of the countries that actually has performed better than Britain is Israel. But, of course, Bergen is ideologically unable to write the word Israel, so he couldn't put that one on the list. So, you know, he's still in acceptance of the old Jeremy Corbyn anti-Semite brigade. But there we are. Well, my first...
No, I have to say, just on what... And this is utterly gratuitous, and so we'll quite understand if I get shouted down. He actually looks a plank, doesn't he?
He does.
He's gormless. He's stupid. he just looks wonky.
He does. It's absolutely right. Fantastic. Very good.
Yeah, do you know what? If he popped up on my Bumble, I'd definitely swipe left. Well, he'd like that, though. He likes a bit of a left.
I'll tell you what
swipe.
He's a classic example of as well. Would you believe he went to Cambridge University and graduated from there. He's a perfect example of how intelligence, or rather intellect, does not equal intelligence, because he is dumb.
He really is. Well, my first nomination has got to be the head of the Metropolitan Police, and that would be Cressida Dick, because the Metropolitan Police, amongst others, have come in for a bit of flack lately because they keep going and interfering with people sitting in parks and telling them to go home, despite the fact that they might have just sat down after doing a bit of exercise on a mat. And I'm not sure really precisely what the difference is between sitting on an exercise mat and actually exercising on an exercise mat, but, you know, they call me old-fashioned. But Cressida Dick, on last Thursday night, decided to go out on Westminster Bridge with a bunch of her fellow Metropolitan Police officers and a whole crowd of people to clap the NHS. Now, the whole point of clapping the NHS is to say thank you for all of the hard work they're doing, and we're doing it outside of our homes because we're not really supposed to go anywhere. The idea that you then turn this into some kind of a trip to Westminster Bridge with hundreds of other people who are all standing far too close to one another, including the police officers, seems to me to be completely and utterly mad, and also completely and utterly hypocritical. So Cressida Dick, I think, has got just as good a chance as Richard Bergen has, or even the Quangos have. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm with you on that, because it's one thing when the police are stalking parks in London, and dear God, if you sit on a park bench for more than 30 seconds, you're harried back into your own tower block where you have to sit in misery in stifling hot confined conditions, five people to an apartment. So I'm totally with you when they, you know, treat everybody else with that level of stringency and application of the rules, and then all sort of join hands together and, you know, for a photo op. But at the same time, you've got that scenario every time during the Notting Hill Carnival. They're all out, aren't they? You know, twerking and stuff, while they're making sure people don't stab each other. Mm. In the gay pride marches, you know, they're all there dressed as, you know, God knows what, rather than being sensible police officers. And you do think, particularly under her leadership, that the Met Police are more interested in PR publicity stunts than they are in actually doing proper grassroots policing.
Yeah. Neil, I suppose where you are, they were necessary to stop all these idiots driving down there in their caravans and cars to try and spend Easter in Cornwall.
Yes, they didn't work. I mean, what I had hoped with the Westminster Bridge thing was, as soon as the clapping was over, that all those coppers on those bridge, on that bridge, standing shoulder to shoulder with lots of members of the public, promptly turned to their left or right and said, "Right, you're Nick."
Yes, that would have been a good ending.
Yeah, but the suggestion was that they quite literally have, on the sort of two main roads into Cornwall, the A38 and the A30, that the police were literally stopping cars with sort of canoes on the top or top boxes or caravans and saying, "Where are you going?"
It's amazing, isn't it?
What are you doing? Turn around, clear off.
Yeah, incredible.
And as you wander around the lanes here, I'm in a very rural part of Cornwall, you do see signs on walls which are, "Go home, stay home, go away," and they mean it.
Yes, absolutely right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Who's your second nominee, Alex?
Well, you know, every time I'm on Plank of the Week, which is only one time before this, fair enough. But it's Meghan Markle. She's back. She's up to her tone-deaf operations once again.
Yes, she's been quite remarkable this week.
Well, yeah, you would think when everybody's worried about, you know, catching a virus and they might have relatives who've caught the virus, friends working on the front line as medics, she thinks, "Oh, do you know what? I haven't had much media attention lately. I will use this period of time to sort of push out a promotional video for some elephant documentary she's done with Disney, and then turn around and say to the four big newspapers, the four most read newspapers in the country, the tabloids, 'We're not going to work with you. When you're never going to have exclusives. You know, the relationship is over from here on in.'" And, you know, I mean, first of all, the timing is just abysmal, especially because it overshadowed good old Prince Phil crawling out of his cave and giving his own little round of applause to key workers.
Yeah.
But also, basically, does she not understand PR? Having been the head of PR for a while for UKIP, which, believe me, is probably one of the hardest PR jobs in the land, you realise that you get a roasting from newspapers. Remember that guy who turned around and said floods were caused by gay marriage?
Yes.
I mean, this guy had been a Tory parish councillor for, you know, years and years and years, and was always writing letters like that to the local rag. Then he decided he was going to become a UKIP councillor. I think he self-appointed himself as UKIP. And then somehow he writes, you know, the same sort of rubbish that he's been writing for decades, and it ends up a national news story. But do you know what? If you turn around and say to papers, "That's it, we're not working with you anymore," you don't get the game, because at the end of the day, someone who's as publicity hungry as the Duchess of Sussex needs the papers. She needs to be on those front pages, and she's been getting front pages. You know, you have to wonder whether sometimes it's a bit of a cynical ploy to keep her name up in bright lights, but actually I just think she's a bit of a plank.
Well, I think I can't disagree. Neil, you've worked for some of these banned newspapers, so you can stand up for them now.
Well, I've worked for most of them, frankly. And I've got to tell you that there are few things at my great age that do strike me dumb, but that one, the announcement just at the time of, what is it, the Queen's 94th birthday.
Yes.
Today, we're in the midst of this coronavirus horror. which absolutely isn't anything to laugh about. But then Meghan thinks that it's a good time to bleed all over the world, saying, "I'm terribly badly treated by those terrible press guys," you know, who will have looked at that, as I would have done, laughed and just carried on way I am.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, I was reminded of that line, I don't know how well you both know All the President's Men, the movie with Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman about Watergate, but there's a phone call that Redford makes to some guy to check a story who he's never spoken to before, and who says to him, "If you print that, our relationship is over." To which Robert Redford says, "Well, excuse me, we don't have a relationship," which I think is what the tabloids would now say. I mean, I don't think there's any newspaper editor in London who has ever had a phone call from Prince Harry or Meghan Markle since they got married to say, "You know what, we'd really like to give you guys a story and some exclusive access to our pad in California, which is at the moment the Chateau Marmont, where they're being looked after in five-star luxury by the people who run the bungalows there," which is quite extraordinary. Neil, who's your second one?
Well, I'm afraid I'm cutting across Alex here because I think Plank of the Week is Prince Harry. because Meghan is not actually in this alone. And Meghan is basically just a publicity-hungry, self-obsessed, classic L.A., California girl, me, who doesn't really give a monkey's about anything in the world. But Harry has actually been out there. Harry, I, you know, there's not one of us, is there, who doesn't admire his service in the military and thought how fantastic he was. You know, the Invictus Games, yes, is an amazing thing. And then he falls for this woman and sort of has ended up being a kind of toy boy, being dragged around the world as she just throws everything he's ever stood for up in the air, and then when it comes down to her, jumping all over it gleefully, making it all about her. And frankly, Harry has stood there and watched it. And Harry knows better, and Harry should have done something about it and manned up and sort of said, "Enough of this. My family, my background are worth more than this and are better than this." And so I very, very strongly say, with respect, that he's more of a plank than even Meghan is.
Well, Alex, what do you make of that?
Well, do you know what? For the first time, I'm going to have to disagree, and these are the reasons why. First of all, I mean, look, we know, don't we? We love Harry, but we know he's not the sharpest tool in the box. We know that. You know, he's not the one who managed to, you know, go get a great degree at university, and sometimes you wonder if he can spell. But at the same time, we also know he's, you know, he's obviously damaged by his mother's death. I think, you know, he's long wanted to probably have a good, stable relationship. And what he's done is he has put his wife and his children above everything else. Now, some people might say that that makes him a bit weak, but in this day and age, when actually society teaches men to go out and look after themselves because feminism's taught women that they don't need men and, you know, people aren't getting married anymore and divorces are happening left, right and centre, and, you know, that sort of traditional family unit is essentially being eroded by culture. I think there's actually something quite nice and reassuring about seeing a man, regardless of how abominable I find his wife, say, "Do you know what? This is the most important thing to me in my life." And I actually wish more men had those old-fashioned values.
Yeah, but you've got to know that there's going to be the point of reckoning, isn't there, when he suddenly gets on a plane and flies home and just goes down to the pub in Chelsea where he used to hang out with his mates from the army, and he's just going to say, "Guys, I don't know what I was thinking. Why didn't you tell me?" And they'll all go, "We did."
Yeah, no, I know. I agree. Look, but like I said, he's not the sharpest tool in the box, is he? But at the same time, you know, one person's abandoning your country is another person's romantic sacrifice for the woman that they love. So.
Yes, well, I had no idea you were such a romantic, Alex, but I'll take that on board
plank
for the future. Yeah, I'll stick with Neil's plankery, I think. I'm going to go for the House of Lords as my second nomination because, as you probably know, the Houses of Parliament reconvened after the Easter recess this week, and the House of Commons is going to be doing a sort of virtual question time, Prime Minister's questions and all that. But the House of Lords, I don't quite understand why they're having to do anything at all. But the reason I'm putting them in the planks list is because they are having virtual sessions. And the peers who are going to be at those virtual sessions have demanded that they should get their daily allowance, which is £323, even if they're just doing it from their sitting room on a laptop. which seems to me to be entirely inappropriate. And the House of Lords' response has said, well, that's fine, as long as you make a contribution. So basically, they can't do what they used to do, which is just to turn up in person, sign the register, go back out to the gentleman's dining club and pick up the 323 quid that way. They actually now have to make some kind of contribution, which at the moment remains uncertain. But I don't see why we should be paying these bozos for sitting around in their palatial mansions, you know, phoning it in. Alex, what do you reckon?
Well, you're right. It's not as if most of the people who occupy the red benches are short of a bob or two, is it? Most of them have worked at the highest levels of their professions or been, you know, careerists with previous governments and therefore awarded the golden handshake. So if anyone can afford to do the, you know, work hard for the good of the country during a crisis and should probably have life experience to direct them that that is the correct thing to do, it would be them. But to be honest, what did they do in the Lords anyway? A lot of them just turned up to the tea room and then went and sat on the red benches and nodded off to sleep. I can't imagine they're doing much different at home. So yeah, I mean, the massive planks have been forever plank of history, I would say, with the Lords.
Yeah, Neil, I can't imagine they're going to survive too much longer, right, the House of Lords.
Well, I hope not. What I was going to say, Mike, that I that frankly, you don't really need to look at anything from this week, particularly, to vote them as planks.
Yeah.
Because I just think the House of Lords is an anachronism. I think it needs to be totally, totally re-looked at. I think it needs to be enormously reduced, and it ought to be appointments for set periods of time, maybe 5 years, and then they have to stand down. I know a number of Lords, actually, who were appointed on merit who would probably have never been able to face or never been able to do an election campaign.
Right.
And so I see the virtue of a second chamber appointed from the good.
Mm.
But it's the great that gets me, you know, all of these time servers who've been in some minor backbench role for generations and are still there, and all sorts of bozos. So I absolutely agree. Get rid of the Lords. Stick them in the plank box.
They're certainly in there. Alex, your final nomination.
Well, this is a bit of a cheeky one because this is just a play on the words, and I just want to, you know, self-aggrandise a bit because I'm really proud of myself. Since lockdown, I've upped the game when it comes to my diet and my exercise regime, and part of my complicated Joe Wicks HIIT, which is high-intensity interval training, involves a manoeuvre called the plank, which is really hard to do, and I've managed to get well over a minute now. So plank of the week has actually been executed by me in my living room with my septuagenarian mother. Can I just say?
The strength and endurance, Neil. What have you got to offer in that department?
Wowza. I mean, that's very, very impressive. And so you're able to do this despite the fact that you had eggs and avocado for breakfast.
Well, yeah, it's the bloated stomach that actually props the rest of my abdomen up. So it looks like I'm planking, but actually I'm resting on my big belly.
So what do you reckon, Neil? Who's your final one?
My final one for this week is a man called Keir Starmer.
Oh, yes.
Now, some of you may have heard of Keir Starmer. Sadly, too many of you. He is the new leader of the Labour Party. And my dislike of him goes back a decade because he was the director of public prosecutions who effectively got me caught up in the hacking scandal.
Oh, yes.
In newspapers, which ended up with me being arrested for and on bail for basically 4 years before I was cleared at trial at the Old Bailey after a month-long trial. And that had massive ramifications for me, as it did for dozens upon dozens of other totally innocent journalists who were arrested at dawn and were kept on bail and went to trial and then cleared. But it's not just for that long, long grudge, which I've nursed and held close to my chest for a long time. But he is the guy who fought for the pro-EU corner in the Brexit debate for Labour.
Yes.
Who, I mean, the one thing in his favour is his obsession with demanding a second referendum probably lost Labour many of those seats that went over to the Tories, I'm glad to say. But now he's finally become leader of the Labour Party, basically by a campaign devoted to never actually having an opinion on anything, so that he didn't alienate anybody.
Right.
And his first thing he's done since he was appointed was to order an inquiry into an inquiry about something Labour did before they were effectively kicked into the long grass. Hopeless man, a life of failure, but somehow, typically, some might say, as a leader of the Labour Party, he managed to rise. Well, I think he's a plank.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Alex, you got any love for Keir Starmer?
No, not at all, really. I mean, having been on the front line of that Brexit battle, he was a bit of a thorn in my side. But at the same time, like Neil says, he's actually, again, a bit of a gift that keeps on giving, because he's not exactly bringing traditional working-class Labour voters into the fold of the party, is he?
No.
He's keeping them all on, let's say, our side. I'm going to presume that we're on one team here, of the political debate. And also, he looks a little bit like a kind of fascist Ken doll. He's got that weird sort of slicked over gelled hair.
Yes.
Very good.
And looks like he should wear some sort of, military uniform or something.
Mm. And he's also got that similarly vacant Richard Bergen look about him. He always looks like he's being surprised by something that somebody said. And amazingly, this week alone, he's managed to do what everyone thought was actually unthinkable, which was to have even less popularity than Jeremy Corbyn. Now, the latest poll that's been done, he's even less liked by people in the Labour Party than Corbyn was. So, I mean, he really is plank of the week all round. My final nominee is a bloke called Marcus J. Ball, who calls himself a lawyer. This is the guy who sort of took on Boris Johnson. On his Twitter page, he says that he prosecuted Boris Johnson for lying about £5 billion worth of public spending. Well, first of all, he didn't prosecute him. What he did do was he raised a load of money crowdfunding from a lot of other sort of useless middle-class socialist idiots who thought it would be a great idea to try and get Boris Johnson locked up instead of allowing him to run the country for which he'd been elected to do. He saved up a load of money and apparently blew it, I'm told, on a variety of things, which included his own rent, and very possibly a skiing holiday. He's now on another wasted journey because he's decided it's a great idea to write to St. Thomas's Hospital with an FOI request, Freedom of Information request, to basically get them to reveal who the nurses are who treated Boris Johnson, because he doesn't believe that they exist. Also, he wants to see Boris Johnson's private medical file, which, of course, is completely confidential, because it would be anyway. So he's on another loser, and he's one of these guys that's perpetuating this ridiculous myth that Boris Johnson never was ill, never really was in, St. Thomas's, as if they took him in the front door and then took him out the back door and then took him back home and pretended he was there for, a week and a half, when in fact there was nothing wrong with him. So it's quite an offensive thing to do. But this guy clearly is an absolute and utter plank because, one, he's driven by this mad desire to hate the Tory party, which is always a bit deranged. And, he's clearly off his rocker. Alex?
Yeah, no, I mean, what can one answer to that? I always derive a degree of entertainment from a conspiracy theorist,
yeah.
But what I find utterly abominable is when people turn to, poor saps who read this stuff and believe it and then try and get money out of them. I mean, that's worse than, going around and selling someone dodgy goods in the back of a van. I mean, when you're actually getting people to crowdfund things like that, that is just deplorable. And, yeah, I mean, as entertaining as conspiracy theories are, it's not the time, it's not the place, and it's not the subject. Matter.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I'm sure you would agree, Neil.
I think that this is a guy with a hunger for self-publicity that could rival Meghan Markle. but the problem being that in his sort of lust for fame, what he's effectively doing is defaming just about everybody who works at St. Thomas's Hospital. All of those, people in the NHS there, the nurses, the doctors, the porters, everybody would have had to have been in on this conspiracy. And the suggestion that they all happily went along with the idea of such a vile lie, I think is actually shocking. And he really needs, putting in the plant box.
Yes, I think he really does. Right, now, this is the bit that gets a bit complicated, because what we do now, Neil, is we basically get each one of us to pick our favourite one of those three guesses, those three nominations from each person. So why don't you pick your favourite Alex nomination? So Alex, why don't you tell Neil what your three are?
It was Quangos in general, Meghan Markle, and then my own heroic feat, actually more my mum's heroic feat, who is 70 years old, of being able to do a good old Joe Wicks plank in the living room.
Okay. What do you reckon,
well,
Neil?
Terribly impressed by your own version of planking. Have a deep affinity for your views of Quangos. But it's got to come down to Meghan.
I think that's a very good choice. So, Neil, I'm going to get you to choose... I'm going to get Alex to choose her favourite one of mine. So I've got Cressida Dick, I've got the House of Lords, and I've got Marcus Ball. Which one of those do you want to put through?
It's got to be Marcus Ball. Mean, like, the others are pretty deplorable characters who have who just sort of think of themselves above anything else. But Marcus Ball, being a conspiracy theorist, is nothing short of a total and utter plank.
Yes, absolutely right. So I got to choose yours then, Neil. So tell us what your three were.
My first was Richard Bergen.
Yeah.
My second was Prince Harry, Grower Pair. And my last one was the dreadful Keir Starmer.
I think it's got to be Starmer. And I say that out of loyalty to not only you, but to all of the other people who were treated so terribly during that time, of sheer bloody-mindedness and revenge, frankly, from Gordon Brown and his crowd. But so now we have the final three. We've got to lose one of these now, if we can all agree which one goes. So we've got Marcus Ball, Keir Starmer and Meghan Markle. One of those, whichever is the weakest, becomes the number three on the list, and then the final two battle it out. Alex?
That's difficult. I know who I find the biggest plank of those three, but it's a bit difficult between Keir Starmer and Meghan. But they would be my sort of bottom two. But I would probably say Meghan's worse than Keir Starmer.
Okay, so what, you want to kick Starmer out?
Yeah, well, no, I don't want to. I want to keep him in there, but
oh, right.
I've got to kick someone out. I don't know. Difficult. Starmer.
Starmer goes out.
Starmer goes out.
Okay. Do you agree with that, Alex? Neil. Because you could nominate somebody else if you want, and I'll have the deciding vote.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you get to make the big call.
Well, it's my show.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Nobody mentioned that to me.
Well, you know me. I don't like to be in anybody else's show. I only like my own.
I think I'm going to kick out Meghan.
Okay.
Because Meghan is the gift that keeps on giving, and I guarantee that if I'm... If me and Alex are lucky enough to be on this show again, she will almost certainly have found a way to thrust her way into the nominations. So on the grounds she's probably been planked before, and the grounds that she'll probably be planked again, yeah. I take her out this time.
And she could still be number three, so it's not too bad. And you might be surprised to know, actually, that Keir Starmer's appeared quite often on the planks list. But I'm going to stick with Neil on this, Alex, I'm afraid. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that you called me old before when I wasn't listening. I'm going to suggest that that Meghan goes in as number three. So the final is between Marcus Ball and Keir Starmer. And I'm going to nominate Marcus Ball.
Oh, it's hands down Marcus Ball. All the way, with knobs on, it's Marcus Ball.
Okay, well, that's already two votes. Should we make it unanimous?
I really, really hate to say this, but, oh, yeah, Marcus Ball every time, I must say. He brings a level of vileness and unpleasantry and sheer corruptibility, really, in the fact of what he's, how he's abused all of this, to say, yes, Marcus Ball.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Marcus Ball, you are the plank of the week. You should be very proud of yourself, you complete plank. Guys, thank you very much indeed. We'll be back next week with more plankery and more guests.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.